Hello, hello. We're back on track with your host, Troy, Track Select. And this time, if you're listening, you are one of the select few. And we've got a guest.
Hello.
Hey, who are we talking to?
You're talking to Brielle, Trey's friend.
Shout out to Brielle, man. So, yeah, I ain't going to do no big deal intro this time unless I change my mind and do some intro. But, yeah, I guess I'm going to go into this by saying it's Christmas time and I want to do a bunch of songs about Christmas. And this actually started because I was thinking about Thanksgiving, really and truthfully. And I was like, man, why aren't there any like Thanksgiving songs? Like there's never
about genocide.
There's never a point where people are talking about Thanksgiving. And, but then I happened to look up some stuff and I was actually incredibly incorrect. And there are some cool songs that could be Thanksgiving songs if you just kind of make them. One of them, which I think was a very genius way to do it. Somebody put in a list somewhere online, James Brown's Do the Mashed Potato. And I was like, damn, that's actually pretty cool. I wish I had done that. There's a couple of them. I'm not going to name a bunch of them. Someone was talking about Mary J. Blige, Family Affair.
Yes. You know? Now, that is a family reunion song, first of all.
Yes, but Thanksgiving is basically a family reunion.
Okay, true.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, so these songs on this list are not actually Thanksgiving songs at all. But it's things that people kind of supplemented in and was like, it could be a Thanksgiving song if you wanted to be a Thanksgiving song. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but before I looked at this list and saw that some Thanksgiving songs did kind of exist if you wanted to use your imagination, I was like, oh, the reason there aren't any Thanksgiving songs is because Christmas is so close. Mm. People just already jumped to Christmas.
Yeah.
And so as soon as...
Put that tree right after Halloween.
Yeah. Seriously? I mean, it's kind of about that time. And so... because of that, we just jumped straight to Christmas. And I was like, I'm just going to do a Christmas episode. I don't think I've ever done a Christmas episode before. Yeah, I've never done a Christmas episode talking about Christmas songs specifically. So that's why we're doing this. So Brielle's never been on the show before. So I'm going to tell her exactly how this is going to go. We're going to go, I'm going to talk about a song, and you're going to talk about a song. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to go back and forth like that mm-hmm. until we're out of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool with you?
Cool.
Cool. I feel like there was one more detail. It was probably the title of this episode. I couldn't quite remember what I wanted to do, but it's cool. All right. So let me go ahead and get off of this. Okay. So I'm going to start and talk about Soul Holiday by Sounds of Blackness. And the reason I want to talk about that is because it was kind of one of those songs that had a little bit of a Thanksgiving mm-hmm. tinge to it. I didn't realize until I was listening to it for this episode specifically. In that song, they were talking about Christmas Day. This is on the chorus. Christmas Day, New Year's Day, Thanksgiving, MLK. And they just decided to make all of those black holidays, which I think is very funny.
I'm screaming.
Is Thanksgiving automatically a black holiday?
Yes, because niggas get a day off work.
When we get
a day off work, when we can come together with a day off work, paid. Yeah. That's a black holiday.
In my household, it is a black holiday because it ain't nothing but black people around. But, you know, I just thought that was super funny how they kind of took ownership of a lot of that stuff. And I was like, you know what? That's a perfect segue to start this episode to talk about all the stuff that were going on. But, yeah. So there's that. Also, I think that it's very 90s in the way that it's got like this 90s hip hop beat. Sounds of Blackness is damn near gospel.
That's
depending
what I
on
thought.
What songs you're listening to. Because it's because of their very positive messaging, but mm-hmm. also a lot of times their songs do mention or at least have some sort of spiritual essence mm-hmm. to them. So
isn't this lyric called Soul Holidays?
It's called Soul Holidays, yes.
Yes,
but
soul,
I also kind of take that in the mention of like how we say soul food.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But they definitely make sure you know this song is about Jesus.
Amen.
Because they were talking about, you know, the day that Jesus Christ was born. They let you know this is what we're talking about. Mm. Also, we did mention Thanksgiving and MLK. And it's kind of interesting because they're all in a row. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Day, MLK, which I thought was super cool.
Okay.
Yeah. little things that you pick up when you listen to the song like a bunch of times over and you'd be studying and stuff. But yeah, it was fun. Also, his song is Sounds of Blackness. It's in the name. They're super black. They've always been super black. They've always been about celebrating black people and all the things. So this song feels very black. It's super joyful. It feels like Kwanzaa. Mm. And then sure
Wait,
enough,
not that.
Well, sure enough, when I'm watching the video, though, they have some people lighting up some Kwanzaa candles in the music video.
Why did I just discover that Kwanzaa was created by an FBI informant?
I didn't know about the FBI informant portion, but I did hear that somebody the guy was kind of wild, apparently.
Audience, fact check that.
Yeah, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of stuff that the FBI and the CIA do behind the scenes to brainwash us into doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the song is super black. It's not only Kwanzaa black, it's that piano that's still in your grandma's house that's out of tune black. Because in that music video, they have that same grand piano, not a grand piano, but a piano that a lot of black people have in their household. Is that super common or am I tweaking?
I feel like if you were like upper middle class family, then yeah, that's like, I don't know. I've seen pianos before, but definitely if they are in there, they're out of tune. Like them flat, sharp, whatever.
Yeah. Like, okay. So my family's a music family, which I think I take for granted a lot of the time because my granddaddy's house had tons of instruments. There's trombone in there, there's guitar in there, there's a piano in there. There's a big vinyl player in the back that I didn't realize for like years and years and years. Everybody played an instrument at some point growing up. I think that was very important to my family. My Aunt Trisha played the trumpet. My Uncle Eddie played the drums. My dad played the guitar and the saxophone.
Don't play.
And I did pretty much a very similar thing because, again, probably bring that music through. So I played the alto sax growing up, and I played the piano at a certain point, and I played the guitar.
You should have been on the drum line. Were you in that?
That's so funny. I wanted to be at first, not the drum line. I just wanted to be in the band.
The band. Why am I saying drumline like the movie like Nick Cannon?
Because I went to the college that is based on
you did.
Yeah. Shout out to ANT, North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University.
Hey, love that movie.
Yeah.
They
just wouldn't let him film on campus, so they couldn't call it ANT, but it's supposed to be ANT.
What was it called in the movie?
I don't remember.
Damn.
That's an important question. We can look that up right now, actually. But yeah.
Wait, so did you play? You didn't play the drums, though? You played the sax?
I played the
guitar.
Alto sax and I played guitar.
Alto sax is like a deeper sax or something?
So soprano sax is the highest.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's alto. It's a little bigger. Then there's tenor, which is a little bigger than that. Oh. And then there's baritone, which is even bigger than that. Baritone
voices in
like
the basement.
The size of me, almost. It's a very large saxophone. I used to play that one, too. I played that one in the band as well when I was in middle
school. You let that rest on the ground? You don't
No,
pick that
you don't
up,
let
right?
it rest on the ground.
Oh. You have to carry that?
Yeah.
Or like when you play it, you have to pick it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're in the marching band, I was also in the marching band in high school. But
why not in college?
Because I wanted to be a regular student for once.
Because
in high school,
high
I was
achiever.
In the marching band and I was in the wrestling team. And so I was like, I want to go home. Also, when you're in HBCU, if you are a part of the band, you are basically a student athlete.
Yeah.
You don't get no scholarship like them student athletes get scholarships.
They don't? You can't.
They get one, but like just to buy books and stuff. But it's not like a full ride type of situation, mm-hmm. unless maybe you went to school specifically for music. Mm-hmm. But like they work so hard. I remember seeing them coming home from practice. It'd be like midnight, and they because they'd always have to order food because everything on campus is closed at that point.
Do they get the same praise? They should.
People love the band. I think. And at HBCUs, people will stay during the halftime show to watch them
because it's something serious.
The game, yeah,
yes.
It's a serious occasion. It's a big deal.
Oh shit!
I'll never forget when I was sitting in the line. They had like a parade essentially, and I remember these niggas were on the drum line, and I remember they were playing, and like we could see them see their eyes like we were standing right behind the barricade, mm-hmm. and they like came up to the barricade and were like staring at us, specifically the women, in their eyes, and like, you know, they start humping the drums and shit.
Come on, Q dogs.
I remember the women I was with were for sure folding. I mean, curling up right there. I said, hey man, I gotta do something. I gotta get on the I gotta
take my shirt off real quick.
Yeah. What's up?
Huh?
I thought she said, but yeah, I needed to I remember them talking about later.
I was talking about you.
What?
You was like, let me do something real quick. And I was like, let me take my shirt off. As in you, not me, you nut.
No, I didn't hear what you said at all.
Oh.
Anyway. But yeah. But back to Soul Holiday. Back on track. Yeah, man. I mean, it's super black.
It sounds like the song Optimistic. Like, you heard it,
yes,
in there, right?
Yes. They're very similar. What's the word I want to say? Very similar in the term of, I mean, they got a very similar breakbeat. They're both super joyous, upbeat songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also one of those songs that's super black in the sense of, I don't know if you ever took like singing lessons or like in the choir or whatever. But no. They used to mention, like, you need to open up your whole mouth to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not, I know now we're very much on a delicate singing.
Like
tonight.
The Sazanese and like,
yeah,
the,
yeah. Yeah, Jhené Aiko and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But like, they're like, you know, the day that Jesus Christ was born. Like, you need, yeah, to.
Oh, and then from the, they need to hear it from the belly, from,
yeah,
the soul.
Yeah.
Right.
In diaphragm.
Below the diaphragm.
They used to teach that.
They said, open that chest up.
Yeah. Different, different type of song, different type of.
Ain't no SZA, we need Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the rest where she comes from. She came from singing the church. That's because, mm-hmm, that's why we ain't got that no more, because y'all don't go to church no more. And that's fine, because I don't be in there either. So I can't act like, I'm not trying to shame y'all or nothing. But what I will say is, being
losing
part of
recipes,
the church, being part of the church is one of the greatest places to become a talented musician or singer, because it's one of the few places where you're going to perform every single weekend.
Because you get to practice in. People and church people are judgmental as hell. So, of course, you can come correct.
You got to make sure your stuff is right. And they, but even if it's not, if you're at a smaller church and stuff, they will encourage you to keep going, mm-hmm, and keep getting better.
I'm like, when they say bless your heart, mm-hmm, that, you know,
that's
what
all right.
That means.
That's all right.
That's all right. You messed up.
But it's okay. But yeah, I realized that the other day. It's like, that's why it's one of the best places, and why so many people got so good, is because you have to be at the rehearsals, which, like, every Wednesday or Tuesday, probably, actually. And then there are multiple services. So, you know, you get at least one performance a week, but you might have two, three, and you travel and play at other churches and stuff. So it's like, it's a lot of practice all the time. And how many other places are you going to go where you get to play every single weekend?
And that choir director, they're dedicated.
And they are.
They are.
My dad played in the church. And so I went to all those choir rehearsals and stuff. And those guys are like, big deal. And some of them went to school for music.
Mm.
And then now the way that they make money is just playing at church all the time. They'll play like 2, 3, 4 different churches.
Did he have sugar in his tank?
No.
No?
He did not.
Are you sure?
I mean, he had a wife and kid. He did not present very feminine.
Okay.
But she never
I
does.
Feel like the best churches, choir director got some sugar in the tank. Lord. Doesn't know what they said about Kirk Franklin or something. I don't know. Let me calm down.
Kirk, I want a job.
Sorry.
Don't listen to anything she got to say.
I'm not saying nothing negative. Kirk Franklin is like the greatest like gospel performer.
He might call you for slander and libel.
Well, allegedly. I'll put that in there.
Allegedly, LOL. All right, let's go on. Unless you got something else that you want to say about this one.
No.
Okay, let's go on to whatever song you want to do next.
Okay, Oh Holy Night.
Okay, let's start. Let's hear what you got to say.
Well, to me, I think that Oh Holy Night is, in my opinion, it is also very black. Because mind you, it's about Jesus.
Jesus. Get them kids praying in the schools again.
Amen. No, wait. I was like, wait. But I don't know. It's like, I feel like it, with that song, you can hear the skill in Mariah Carey's. When you hear that end part, ooh, I'm sorry. I kind of want to play it right now. But when she gets to the end and she holds that note out, she doesn't do her whistles very often, but it's like it's her whistle tone. And it is so good. It is so crisp. The video is in a church. She got the black choir in the background, you know, her being like the pinnacle light skinned girl or stuff like that. She in the front. But it is so good. And I feel like, I don't know. To me, it's better. It's more meaningful than All I Want for Christmas Is You. And that's probably going to be talked about. Yeah, people think that's her best Christmas song. I don't think so. Because I don't think it showcases her skill like Oh Holy Night does. And also, like I said, I don't know. It's just something about it. And this is the gospel tinge. I love a song with the gospel tinge. And obviously, it sounds gospel.
Hey, she said, fall on your knees.
Yes.
It ain't too many songs talk about you better fall on your knees right now.
Right
talk
now.
To Jesus.
Talk to him.
Right now. I'm not playing with your knees.
Not playing. If you don't fall, I'm going to knock you down.
Yeah. Like, you're right. It is super black for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I was thinking about when I was kind of researching the song, listen to it again. I think a lot of people, like with the success of All I Want for Christmas Is You, mm-hmm. It is literally 16 times bigger than this song, at least according to Spotify, because All I Want for Christmas Is You, as we know, has turned into like a meme at this point. Like, people love the song for sure, but it's one of those things where like we're going to talk about it every single year, just like September from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like,
that's why I kind of don't like it.
Yeah.
Because it's just so commercialized.
Yes.
It took the spirit away. Maybe that's why I like The Holy Night better, because it has like an essence. And was it All I Want for Christmas? It's just like a marketing ploy. Yeah, I don't like that.
But I would also say that, it's what, 1.6 billion listens compared to this one had like 106 million, which is still a huge deal.
Is that 1/10? Well,
16. So I think, because 1.6 is 1,600,000.
Yeah.
And Oh Holy Night, I think was 100, just 100 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But point is, that's just how gigantic All I Want for Christmas You is. And I was saying that because you were saying it's very black. I think a lot of people, because of how gigantic All I Want for Christmas Is You is and has gotten, I think a lot of people kind of forgot that Mariah Carey is half black.
Yeah. No, literally.
Like, I think a lot of white people don't know that she is half black. And she mentions that, like, that's something she struggled with her entire life. Is that,
but she's the hood's princess. Like, Mariah Carey always
like
been
early
real,
2000s
down.
And 90s Mariah Carey, like, always made it a point to be like, nah, I am also black. I hang with black people all the time and do, like, these hip-hop remixes and da-da-da-da.
She ain't no Doja Cat. Sorry.
Yeah. But, again, when things get so gigantic and you are visibly, like, you look like a white person,
mm-hmm.
Obviously it's going to make things like crossing over much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, those people literally just forgot that Mariah Carey is also a black woman.
Yeah.
It was just something I thought about. I'm like, things, when you're black, sometimes those things just don't get to be that large.
Oh yeah.
Also, the reason that All I Want for Christmas You blew up is because it's not super soulful and it's more commercial.
Yeah.
And when you do things where it takes a lot of skill to sing it, it makes it less marketable because other people cannot sing it with you.
Yeah.
And All I Want for Christmas, they can sing it with you. All they have is that little part in the beginning with whatever. But
the
after that,
run.
It's sung pretty straight.
Yeah.
Relatively. And I think that's why songs like Oh Holy Night, they don't catch on as much, because it's just that much more that people have to do to try to sing with you and remember rather than sing it straight.
True.
And it's much more upbeat, and that is also a part of it, but like really just the skill that she's singing with, like that's just hard to remember in terms of a regular person just hearing the song.
And also it's like a love ballad. So obviously people want to hear like a lovey-dovey song over like a churchy song.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess that makes sense. But yeah.
Yeah, when she said fall on your knees, though, I do remember being like, I feel like I need to start praying right now. Like,
no,
she,
literally.
She really talking.
Like, she I feel like
me.
The spirit of her pushed me over.
It felt like my grandma was saying, hey, you better act right in this
church. She that tight lip, but it's such a rough. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't even do that when I was in church. I didn't even, like, get in trouble.
You get smacked in the back of the head?
Because I was just sitting there. I didn't, you know. But I felt that pressure.
She's like, get that hand in the back of the neck. Shit, your worst stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. But shout out to Oh Holy Night.
Shout out to Oh Holy Night. Mm-hmm.
Still doing numbers.
Her best song. Sorry.
I'd also say, it came out in 94.
It did? Oh, wait. I like the, if we're being so real, I think her second Christmas album, because the first, I don't know what the first one's called, but it's called Merry Christmas 2, holding up the finger 2, You. And I like that one better than the first one. I think it's better, personally. because it has I think the updated version of some of those songs on there, they just sound different. The newer Oh Holy Night is re-recorded. I think it's better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might have to check because I was probably listening to the original, I assume.
Was it on the first album?
Yeah.
Whatever the album. Probably Merry Christmas. I don't know what it's called.
Probably called Mariah Carey Christmas.
Yeah, something like that.
Also, people don't, they definitely do still make Christmas albums, but it's hard to make a new Christmas album and it do well.
Like who, I don't even, she's the queen of Christmas. I'm not sure who could make an album that would be comparable to that now.
It's too hard. Radio doesn't
fucking Drake or something.
Radio doesn't dictate what we listen to anymore like it used to.
Yeah.
So we're all on our own algorithms, which makes it much harder to try to get everyone to know
the buy-in.
What we're listening to right now. Yeah. Versus, you know, 94, okay, the radio, I have to hear this 16 times a day because that's the only way I'll listen to music unless I got my own CDs, whatever. Uh-huh. So that played a huge part in everybody's like, oh, I know this song.
But what about TikTok? The attention span
TikTok
is, much,
is big,
yeah.
But again, it's still algorithm based. So if I'm not interested in, if I show that I only like looking at, I'm just saying something because I'm black. I look at a lot of black content, mm-hmm. and you are a white singer that's got this huge Christmas song. If I only look at black content, TikTok will not show me your content.
You know what doesn't have as strong of an algorithm as TikTok, which might show you or expose you to more things like that, like songs that you're like, oh, I don't really care about this. Probably Instagram, or like Instagram Reels, or Facebook, or YouTube. Yeah. Well, not YouTube, but I feel like that could be,
But the point is, it's all still an algorithm going to things that you are interested in. And if I have shown a history of not being interested in that stuff, it just won't even let me know about it.
Mm.
So that's why it makes it that much harder for some artists to try to, I don't even want to use the word overtake. Mm-hmm. I care, but like make a new Christmas thing that everybody is listening to. It's just different.
I don't know. I feel like the FBI agent in my phone, because whenever I don't have a TikTok. I don't want one. Mm-hmm. But whenever my friend, she tells me about a TikTok she's seen, I was like, don't worry, I'll see it in 2 days. I always do.
There's I was reading some stuff. Basically, the way that these algorithms work is it's a bunch of educated guesses. If it sees that you and I are in a room often, it's going to think that we're friends.
What?
And it will eventually start to show me stuff that you see on your phone, like ads and things like that.
Wait, it knows that the two phones are together?
Yes. So, I saw this working in real time because I was with my cousin.
Oh, shit.
And this is more of a thing of like our phones are always listening. But I was talking to him about this guy named Susie I used to listen to or watch on YouTube. Like, at this time, it'd probably been a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, a day. I hadn't even seen anything about Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, a day or two later, I started to see Susie videos on my, YouTube.
Don't that shit piss you off a little?
Yes. But what am I going
to
do?
What's a gal to do, you know?
Go back to the flip phone. I mean, I did get a bunch of flip phones.
Let me get a burner real quick.
Get a burner.
I kind of want one.
It's a little romantic.
I know. You just like shut it close. Go done with you.
I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to hear what you're talking about. Click.
Click. Fuck you. Click.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You got anything else you want to talk about? Oh, Holy Night. Let's get back.
I know. Let me stop cursing.
Mariah's in the room.
She is. I feel her presence. Mm-hmm. Let me do like a seance or something. I don't know.
That's all you got for Oh, Holy?
That's all I got for Oh, Holy Night. On to the next one.
Okay. So the next one I'm going to talk about is What Do the Lonely Do at Christmas by The Emotions. So, I actually found this song like last year, I want to say. My stepmom was playing it while we were at Christmas. And she had like probably some random playlist on. And I was like, oh man, I really like that. What do the lonely do at Christmas? I'm also a huge Emotions fan. I really respect what they were doing. I have one of their vinyl albums here in this section somewhere.
Do they have like a, I don't know them. Do they have like a really popular song that I might recognize?
I think they do The Best of My Love.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
I'm about to say it, but somebody's yelling at me because I don't feel like that's right. So I just want to look at The Emotions real quick before I say anything. So, whoa, whoa, You got the best of my love.
Yes, indeed.
That and then Don't Ask My Neighbors, which is probably my favorite song by The Emotions.
Don't Ask My Neighbors?
You probably won't know that one. But basically she's like, don't ask my neighbor. Don't ask my friends. I hang around. The point is that she's talking to this boy who is very interested in her romantically, but he's trying to figure out if she is interested in him. And instead, he's like trying to, like most people probably would. It's a very sweet song. It's beautiful. They're trying to figure out, like, you know, hey, is such and such into me?
Yeah.
But she's like, don't ask them, ask me.
Oh, no, she's right.
Yeah.
And speak about it. Talk about it, Miss Girl. Talk about it. Everybody else want to do that. I just want to go everybody else but the main person. No, talk to them. God damn it.
It's true.
How much cursing can I do in here?
As much as you want to.
Okay.
I'd also like to say that, you know, seeing these older pictures of the emotions in these, like just older acts in general, I'm like, some of y'all grandma almost is fine. And some of y'all need to bring them hairstyles back.
Which one? The big poofy one?
Just something. Because I, you know, like, I can't talk to your grandmama now, but I want to talk to you. But I want you to look like
the 70s. Essence of the grandma.
I want you to get that back.
They got to wear the bell bottoms, the halter tops.
Please, I'd lose my mind.
Platform shoes.
I'd lose my mind.
Sorry, over here. Froth that out the mouth.
I'd probably cower in fear, honestly. But, but that's the best kind. Man, that woman is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was looking at some of these, like, pictures of the emotions, like, they were so pretty. But yeah.
You heard it here. Watch out. Put your grandmas away. Lock them up.
Don't put that outside
looking for a, what is it? Not a sugar mama. What is it called? A cougar?
A cougar.
Crater robber. Something like that.
You know, y'all know a couple episodes ago we were talking about, I was at the Jody's concert looking for the freaks. And y'all know who out there. It ain't no people my age. That's the aunties.
That's the aunties who was at Freaknik, who be like, cover up, Miss Girl. Girl, I know what you was doing in 99.
I don't know if they was the ones who really tell y'all to do that.
Maybe. You'd be so surprised. My mom, I was like, girl, don't play with me. Acting like she don't know who Adina Howard is. Lady, I heard you singing these lyrics word for motherfucking word. We was in the car 3 weeks ago. But I was like, mom, don't try to call these girls fast when you was singing Adina Howard.
But your mama liked to play dumb, though.
She do. I'm like, stop playing with me, girl. Because
when she was at your birthday party, she act like she don't know how to play tug of war.
I was like, girl. I'm like, don't get around these people.
Came out in 1812.
She put on that customer service white woman voice, like, hi, how you guys doing? Girl, talk to them how you talk to me.
No, I was talking to you. I said, quit acting. I said, why your mama keep acting like she don't?
I swear. I was like, girl, are you talking about? No, she was definitely singing freak like me. Every word. I want a freak in the morning. Yeah, girl, that was you.
Adina Howard really is a freak. I just saw something about her.
Queenie, love her.
Lately, recently, where she actually took Brandy's man from her.
I don't like that.
And then she got married to this guy, but they ended up getting a divorce because she just wanted to have sex all the time.
Oh,
and she talks about,
she
like,
an info.
I want to have, oh yeah. She probably, I ain't gonna put no words in, but I know she literally said, I want to do it in the morning. I want it like my cup of coffee.
Morning,
I want
in
my, it's my good night pill. And if I can get it between then too, and that's every day.
Hot damn.
So even if I twice every day, I feel like I'm somebody who has a decently, actually, I feel like I have a kind of higher drive than most. But twice a day, every single day. And like you would like to be able to get in that third time?
She don't. Nobody has the time. She's lying. Go to the studio, girl. They need you.
I don't know. No, I think she was telling the truth because her husband was like, "Yeah, I just couldn't. I couldn't do that."
How you wake up every? No, damn.
I think ideally she wanted definitely. It seemed to me like that minimum was a 2 times a day. If we together, times a day. When I wake up before I go to bed. But trying to get it that third time also is nuts to me.
I feel like she's going to live a long time. That's like taking a daily vitamin.
Yeah, probably strong.
She's got a strong heart. Yeah.
But okay. The emotions. So where's my notes? Oh, yeah. So the emotions. What did Lonely do at Christmas? This kind of goes back to the Motown and Stax beef. Do you know who Stax is?
Mm-mm.
You know who Motown is?
Yeah.
Okay. Clear. So
Motown Records, right?
Yeah. So Motown Records and their Stax Records. Motown was known for making more pop hits.
Oh.
And Stax was known for like being the more soulful record label, mm-hmm. but they were definitely two competitors who were trying to, you know, just sell the most music that they possibly could. Mm-hmm. Stax had, I guess they had the Emotions on there, and they also had people like Isaac Hayes, and I can't name a bunch off the top of my head, but the point is they were a super soulful record. They just were like really singing on that. Mm-hmm. And so they both put out Christmas records in the 70s or 60s, whichever one, mm-hmm. Competing against each other. Cool. They were like Ford and Chevy, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that because this was on one of those Christmas albums. They're both amazing. You guys should check both of them out. They're both on Spotify and Apple Music, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what I will say is they have a beautiful song with, you know, What Do Lonely Do at Christmas. Let me pull out the lyrics mm-hmm. real quick on them.
Not the touch screen. Oh, snap.
But she's talking about, you know, 'tis the season to be jolly, but how can I be when I have nobody?
Girl, look inwards.
Mm-mm, I need a man. That's what she's talking about. First of all, there's a moment towards the end where she's like, you know, what do the lonely do at Christmas? But then she says, what do they do? What do they do?
Oh, she felt that.
And to me, it seems like that old auntie who's bewildered, you still don't have a man. And you getting old.
Girl, mind your business.
And so she's like, what do they do? Because I don't know, girl.
Like, you worry so, about that little, your niece or something like that. Girl, you on your second divorce. Stop playing.
But she got a man.
Okay, and that man, she don't even like him. They don't even like each other.
Speaking of somebody who, I guess, always has my... So I realized this is going to be the first Christmas since 2016 that I have been, like, completely single. And so I was like, man, like...
Trey, you had the hose since then?
Apparently, I always had a woman on my arm. I did not realize that until...
You bring a lady home every Christmas?
No. Not every Christmas. But I think the reality is I was in a long relationship. Mm. And so, like, she would come to Christmas. Mm-hmm. But then even when that was over, I had someone who had, like, gotten me a gift beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, you know, this is going to be the first Christmas where it's like, I'm not going to get a gift from somebody who really knows me. Because your parents, after a certain point,
they don't give a fuck.
They, you know, they get you something.
Yeah.
But like, what my parents did, they usually will ask me. They don't have, there's no like surprise factor sort of thing anymore. And then, you know, they talk about what do the lonely do at Christmas. And I'm like, I'm about to tell y'all what we do. We about to break out this brown liquor the way that y'all acting. Because... they make me break down to my knees when they talk about what do the lonely do.
Don't you love a good lonely Christmas song? Have you heard Christmas rapping? It's like, how's it go? It's like Christmas with myself this year. Something like that.
Maybe, possibly. Did she say, damn, guess what I forgot? That might be a different song.
I don't know. I just know I heard it on Glee. That's where I hear most of my music.
That's so funny.
Like, people are like, you know that song? Yeah, I heard it on Glee. I was a Gleek, indeed.
Gleek was a huge pop culture phenomenon.
Loved it.
That it was on.
Well, first three seasons. After that, just went terribly.
You know how many seasons it is?
Like six.
Okay. Because it seemed like it was forever and ever. But if I was in high school or middle school whenever it came out, that would be a pretty significant part of my life at that point.
I don't think you were probably in elementary school when it came out. It came out in 2010, I think. 2009.
Okay, so that would have been...
You would have been maybe been maybe minimum sixth grade. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure it came out in 2010 or 9.
Okay. If it came out in 2010, I'll
they educated. They opened my eyes to a lot of things. Yeah. I swear. People are like, how do you know Barbara Streisand? Glee. Yeah. Nigga, that's how I know Barbara Streisand.
They were opening a lot of people's eyes up for sure. Yeah. But, you know, what do the only dude really was like, I'm about to break out this brown liquor because y'all singing me right now. I don't know what I'm going to do. But then. I realized.
Wait, do you think that is a, what kind of brown liquor? Are we talking like cognac? Talking some scotch?
So this
brandy, is that the same
that
thing?
I pulled out is Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker, that sounds like a black name.
Yeah.
Wait.
I think this is from Elena for my birthday. But really.
Everybody say happy birthday to Troy.
Yeah, say happy birthday to your boy. It's Sag season right now. Oh, Sagittarius God. Sensation, y'all.
Oh, Sagittarius, yeah.
That was my first episode, Sagittarius Sensation, if y'all been here that long.
Oh, God.
Because my first episode came out on my birthday 3 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Your birthday's on Monday.
Are we getting on the third year? That's nuts.
The third year of Troy Track Select?
Third year of podcasting, yeah.
Don't play with them.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. But yeah, these people are serious. Also, usually I'll drink, I'll do an old fashioned, but ew. I've noticed that I also.
How old are you? 37?
Old enough, apparently. Somebody on TikTok was like, do Hennessy and ginger ale and a lemon.
Oh.
And that's actually very, very good.
You had that?
Yeah. I would go and order that. It's like, I go to my, to Chatterbox Jazz, uh-huh. and I tell my favorite bartender there. She don't work there no more, unfortunately.
Womp. But
I'll be like, hey, give me some of that Hen Dog, put some ginger ale in and a lemon.
Now that's a black. That. Hennessy and ginger ale, black people love both those things.
I know. That's very funny. Yeah. I feel like if I was drinking Hennessy straight, I wouldn't be into it. But the Henny with the ginger ale and that lemon, something about the lemon really takes out a lot of
it. Yeah, maybe it like the acid cuts. I don't know.
Something about it helps take that nasty taste out of a lot of straight liquor, for real.
I still, every time I'm offered dark liquor, I always deny it. I don't, it's just so, it just, it's strong.
And that's what's so funny, because I never considered myself a super, I'm not a super drinker. I drink every couple of months, maybe.
Yeah.
But then I'll drink with people, and they'd be like, you drinking straight, da 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 da. What's, you got a problem? Like,
no, because you do you not mind the taste?
I enjoy, like, an old fashioned is sweet.
Is it? Mm-hmm. It's like
they use brown scotch, bitters, brown sugar.
Yeah.
And just the something just like that. The actual alcohol. That's about it.
Oh.
I just think it's interesting how I definitely wasn't always like that. It's definitely an acquired taste, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I guess I finally acquired it some time ago. I just never saw myself doing that. Mm-hmm. And now here I am. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm surprised everybody don't like old fashioned.
Because we're not an old man trapped in a young man's body.
I suppose so. I do have a lot of records over here. And CDs,
I am. I'm looking at them.
And we're talking about What Did Lonely Do at Christmas with the emotions right now. So there's that. But yeah, that's what I got on. The emotion. Oh, yeah. But as I've become, I don't know, more known within indie, and I've got kind of these friends and stuff, like all these people got me gifts for my birthday, and some people brought me stuff for kind of Christmas and Christmas cookies and whatever, and da 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 da. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I do have people who love me out here. They're
of
like,
course. Don't give Troy no more candles. He got enough. We gave him enough. Stop with the candles.
Hey, give me what you feel is in your heart.
Not candles.
Me. If it's a candle, that's okay. She act like she lived here. It's the first time she came. She got a couple candles.
Okay, yeah, right. I got you a candle. Okay, you better add it to the decor.
I'm gonna add it.
You better light that bitch.
I'm gonna light. There's one lit right now.
Okay, well, when that is done,
we gonna get there.
Okay, I see two other right there. Two more. Don't light those. Light mine.
There are three.
Mine smells better.
All right, we gonna see. Okay, we can go to your song if you would like.
Sure. It is. Well, y'all know. You already know. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Mm. Is it Andy Williams? Is that who sings that? I think I wrote it down.
His name is Andy. Oh, I just had it. Andy Williams, yes.
Yes, indeed. But no, because I saw, I don't know, it makes me think of Home Alone 2, arguably the best Home Alone. Sorry, it's better than 1. And yes, it is. It's better than 1, Home Alone 2. And it's just, although I'm thinking about it now. Obviously, when you're a kid, you think that Christmas is such a great time. Low-key, I don't like it anymore. Like, I like it for one day, and that's literally it. I like it on the day of Christmas, not because of the presents, because I get to see my family who don't live in this state or don't live close or whatever. And that's why I like Christmas. I don't give a damn about the commercialism. I don't give a damn about the presents. Frankly, buying presents stresses me the hell out. So I don't care about any of that. I like to see my family and call it a day. But it is a good song, and it's pretty short. So, win-win.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said Home Alone, because I'm like, this feels like Home Alone.
Yes,
and I guess it's probably because I'm sure they play it.
They do somewhere in that movie.
Yeah, and they literally had to, because it's a super classic. Like, we talk about Mariah Carey now, but really and truthfully, Christmas belongs to Andy Williams. Mm-hmm. And it's such
and
a big deal. Yeah, and Macaulay Culkin. Because growing up, I didn't even know his name until you sent me this song recently.
Oh.
But I do know if I hear It's the Most Wonderful Time of the year whose voice it should, like, mm-hmm. who I should
yes,
hear.
Yes.
And I know when it's not a, when it's a cover and when it's not him.
And you hear them bells playing when mm-hmm. it first, the song opens up. Yep.
Yeah. And, yep. and some songs I don't even believe because they've just been around. They were already very much ingrained in the culture before mm-hmm. I was born. I don't even think there's like an original author. I see them almost as like hymns. Mm. Like somebody wrote it some long time ago.
Oh.
But like everybody who would have been around is dead. You know, and I
like
just
a holy night. Right?
Like a holy night.
I don't even know who sings that. Or like Little Drummer Boy or something like
stuff
that.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's how I saw this song and I saw that it came out in 1963. And I was like, word, like my granddaddy was alive and it was like, oh, this new song is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't see it like that because it's always been around.
Is that when people say it like enters the zeitgeist where it's like, it's just like, it's permeated. It's like when I think people need to tell me I need to watch Star Wars. No, I don't.
Mm.
It's in the cultural lexicon. I don't need to watch it. I know everything about it.
Yeah.
Why do I need to watch that? I'm not called stupid, but I'm not watching that movie. Mm-hmm. I don't like space movies anyway.
But yeah, it's like that to me. To where it's just here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, when I saw that, I was like, this is actually written by human beings mm-hmm. who are, you know, were around and I could see them.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts to me. Also, it makes me think of Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
Very much so. I never thought it was Frank Sinatra, but it would have made sense had it have been him. And this guy, Andy Williams, came up in the same time of Frank Sinatra. They were friends.
Was Frank Sinatra fucking with black people?
I don't know.
I mean, Robert De Niro
he was.
I don't know why I just thought it.
But I was like, he was friends with Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh, because the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
But was, I don't know.
Not that that means that he was like with black people, really. You
yeah.
know what I mean? But
he wasn't like deep, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Frank Sinatra was gigantic.
He was?
Yes.
Well, you mean like, what, 6'4"?
No. I mean in the sense of like everyone knew him.
But you meant like he was a very large man. Yes.
No, I think he was like 5'8", something like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of how I see the song. Cause it's just like, this song is Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't Christmas till this song starts playing. If this song didn't play, we got to start over.
That and the Mariah Carey song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, it's just, that's how I see it. It's nostalgic. He is nostalgia because mm-hmm. it's just, again, like you said, part of the zeitgeist or lexicon. I'd also say that, you know, he is like a classic Hollywood handsome. Very classic white man in the sense of like, this is clean cut, this is what we're doing, it's the 60s. And because of the 60s, oh, this is what he looked like. This is like a cartoonish. It'd be better for like a regular picture.
I don't know how I feel about that.
But the point is like, that is what Hollywood looked like at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like, very much, you know, this is good Christian white man.
Mm.
I wouldn't even recognize him if it wasn't in black and white, because all the TV shows and things that he was in
uh-huh.
would have been black and white. And if I saw him in color, I'd be like, I don't know who that is.
Isn't that how kind of, you know, you obviously, you know, John B, right?
Yes.
Like, he would kind of cosplay as like a black guy or like a biracial, because he would make all his like album colors or whatever, like black and white or sepia toned.
So, not just John B probably did it, but also Bobby Caldwell did that.
I don't know who that is.
What You Won't Do for Love. What You Won't Do, Do for Love.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun,
you tried everything. Yeah. But you won't give it. So he was a white man. But that time, they did not know how to market those artists, because white people would probably buy the record because it's a white man and then hear the song, like, that's not really for me. Black people would never buy it because it's a white man on the cover, even though they like the song.
Mm.
So a lot of times what they did was they put like their silhouettes. Mm-hmm. They did the same thing with Tina Marie.
Tina Marie.
Square Biz. I'm talking Square Biz to you, baby. Square Biz.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Interesting. Some people are going to have some things to say about that.
Oh.
But yeah, the point is they were white artists. Why did they come? Andy Williams is definitely, no one thinks that he's.
No, yeah. I don't know, but you were mentioning like the coloring of the photos, how he like looked. What did you say?
I just said in white and black, and he was like,
I know, I just thought about John B. I'm like, he was good.
Yeah, I like him. John B is great.
He's got good music. He's good.
I think there's a lot of tracks that people don't know about. Maybe I'll talk about John B at a certain point.
I really love the Drake song that Drake sent. I like that one more than his actual song. What is it called? It's not They Don't Know.
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
It's
Calling On You.
Calling On You. Yes, yes.
Because John B's in the background. Calling on you.
I think it's... No, I don't know. Whatever that song from... Is it Take Care? No.
It's on Take Care.
Take Care, on yeah.
album, yeah.
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah. But look, so I was busy researching Andy Williams and seeing that he was this clean-cut white man, Hollywood white man, mm-hmm. nothing bad ever. And then I was like, I wonder if there's a scandal there. I just got curious because all those people had some sort of scandal back then because they just had to portray these like super clean-cut guys.
Yeah, family down the street.
So when I looked at it, I literally just typed in Andy Williams scandal. Mm-hmm. I just want to see. And what came up was essentially he got divorced because there were rumors that he slept with Ethel Kennedy, was Robert Kennedy's wife. Robert Kennedy is the brother to President John F. Kennedy. Robert passed away, so he was like comforting her and stuff. Now he says he didn't sleep with her.
He was already dead? I mean, not Andy, but what's his name? Ethel Kennedy's husband.
Robert Kennedy passed away.
And then he was messing with her after the fact?
Well, nobody knows that for sure. There's just rumors.
What difference does it make?
What do you mean?
He's dead.
No, so he was still married at the time. That's why he got divorced.
Oh,
because like the rumors kept circling that like he's messing with Ethel because he's always with her and stuff. But like that was one of his best friends, his best friend's wife. He's like, you know, in a sense, it was like, yo, this is a person that we're both very close to.
Oh.
I'm trying to comfort her through this thing. But when you see all the news tabloids saying like, I don't know, they be together a lot. And even now today, lots of people get broken up just because of rumors, because tabloids are so strong. Even if you are with that person every day, be like, oh no, they keep saying it. And if somebody keeps putting an idea in your head, you're going to think something happened. Point is, they got divorced because of that. But that's not really the scandal. The scandal is his wife then shot and killed her new husband.
Ooh.
His name.
That would have been him. Damn, he got out.
Well, not necessarily. I forgot what the guy's name. I feel like it was Spide or something. But he was like this Olympic skier or something like that. Anyway, she shot and killed him, she only got 30 days. But the only reason she got 30 days, yes, is because Andy Williams testified on her behalf and was like, I really don't think that she did it. This is after they were divorced, obviously. A lot of people believe that is the reason that she only got the 30 days. People had seen that there was some cocaine use in, I believe it was her new husband's system, but because of police not following procedure, it was ruled inadmissible in court. But there was definitely something fishy going around there. She claimed that the gun went off on accident. That's what everybody say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, that was the scandal that kind of was there. But that was it, though.
Shit, maybe he was afraid he'd get shot by her, too, if he didn't go ahead and testify.
I don't know. I mean, at that point, she was in jail already.
Yeah, she's like, nigga, when I get out, I'm waiting on your ass.
She doing 25 years, it don't matter.
She didn't.
Well, she probably wouldn't have done no 25. Well, women typically don't get that.
When was the 60s? She wasn't going to get that.
This was in the
60s. No.
Yeah. Well, it had to have been the 60s or 70s. But point is, he spoke on her behalf, and that's why she only got 30 days.
And isn't that what niggas want? A writer? And he wrote for her. Did she not do what people want us to do? Or something like that. I don't know. He did it. Whatever.
I'm just making up stuff now.
I'm not. No, they always talk about, I need a bitch to hold me down.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. You're right. But they weren't even married. No,
oh yeah, you're right. But that's I don't know.
She shot her new husband.
As long as she didn't coax him into doing it, he kind of real for that.
I mean, he
he's kind of real.
He didn't want her to go to jail. He sincerely thought she didn't do it. I think she did it on purpose. I mean, obviously she did shoot him. That's not what's disputed. Is was it an accident or was it on purpose and premeditated and all that kind of stuff. But again, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened to them people. And all these people have probably passed away at this point. So, but yeah.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Shame. But yeah, shout out to All I Want. I mean, shout out to It's the Most Wonderful Time of the year. Big band music. They don't really do that no more.
They don't. Bring that back.
Yeah. It'd be nice.
Yeah, it would.
You got anything else you want to say?
Not about that, no.
Okay. So we're going to go to my next song. You know, and this is something I did not appreciate as much when I was younger, because I think I just wasn't into R&B when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was just a hip-hop guy. Mm-hmm. But now I've changed my tune wholeheartedly, mm-hmm. for sure.
Broadening your horizons and stuff like that.
Boys to Men, Let It Snow is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I just kind of listened to it on a whim because I was like, I want to do a Christmas thing. I feel like I got to talk about Let It Snow by Boys to Men. And I was like, this is one of the greatest songs ever. Period. We don't have to listen to this only during Christmas. We can listen to it in the middle of summer if I want to. But so it's not just Boys to Men. It's also Brian McKnight, another hot boy during the during the 90s. And the first thought I had when I was listening to it, I was like, why is this song so sexy? Like, it's supposed to be a Christmas song. But I realized that they had changed it.
Wait, isn't that why there's so many Virgos? Is it 9 months after Christmas? Oh, hold on. Hold on. No, literally. That's what they did this. See that Virgo boom? Virgo is the most common sign. September 15th is like the most common birthday. That's because of them. They did that. Not getting freaky on Christmas.
They were doing a damn thing on this song. It is amazing. First of all, so it's not produced by DeMonte Swang from Jodeci, but it definitely has that sort of energy when you listen to it and how it's produced. That's for the music nerds out there. But yeah, Let It Snow is crazy to me. So I'm just going to mention some of the lines that I'll talk about. Also, I was talking to Keyshawn about that. Mm-hmm. We were playing it in here because I was like just listening to stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why is this song sexy like that? He's like, oh no, gee, this is a lot going on. Because they do a couple things in there that I forgot how the initial Let Us Know sounded. I literally had to listen to it today to remind myself how it went.
Was it on like a Pillsbury literally commercial? Let It Snow. Oh, a Campbell's commercial.
That's how Let It Snow goes. They're talking about, you know, weather outside is frightful. Sound so delightful. Da, 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 da. So let it snow. These people talking about Let It Snow. But then he comes in, you know, talking about, okay, it's a joyous thing. Let the angels sing because we're together. Mm. They talking about God ordained this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. That's top tier game right there. Mm-hmm. Now you can't do the you cannot do the typical and very cliche, you know, God told me you were going to be my wife. Women don't like that. But if you're together and you start talking about let the angels sing because we're together. I'd also like to mention in this music video, they're very loving on like their kind of, I don't want to say the love interest in the music video. Mm-hmm. All of them have like a girlfriend or something. And like, it's very cute. They're very cuddled up. It's not like a super sexy music video like a lot of the stuff in the 90s would be. And then even now, like a lot of our, we have like video vixens. Mm-hmm. These women
bring
were not.
Bring those back, by the way. Hmm? Bring those back for me. Yeah. Where's my Buffy? Like, where's my Corinne? Bring them back.
They weren't like video vixens. Like, they're wearing sweaters in the music video. It's snowing, so that would make sense. But it wasn't supposed to be super sexy in the video or whatever. And it's just so nice to see them be so sweet to someone. And I feel like that's an element of mainstream R&B that's kind of missing.
Fuck Brent Faiyaz. Sorry. Yeah. I said it.
I'm not very interested in anything Brent Faiyaz has to do.
He is an R&B singer who sings like a rapper raps.
Yeah.
And I can't stand that shit. Mm. When you're singing R&B, you need to be on your knees talking about, baby, I'm begging. No. He's like, oh, you put that shit in your nose. I got so many hoes. Boy, shut up.
I think that because rap is the largest, well, it was for a little bit, it had turned into like the biggest genre out of all of them. Everything started to follow that. Mm. And so like, even if you listen to like country songs, they have 808 drums in them because they were trying to mimic hip hop because it was just getting so much play. Same thing with R&B. They were following the footsteps and they've been doing this forever. This is nothing new. 90s R&B did the same thing. TLC, Aaliyah, all of them were like following hip hop's footsteps. And that's just what happened now to the fact where R&B singers and hip hoppers look the same. Mm-hmm. They all have face tattoos now and neck tattoos.
Oh.
They're all super thuggish, ruggish bone. Ty Dolla
Summer,
Sign.
Summer, what's her name? I was going to say Summerella, not the Viner. What is her name? Summer Walker. Mm-hmm. She has face tats and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Super thuggish, ruggish bone.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's just a thing. Anyway.
Super thuggish, ruggish. Sorry.
Yeah, they were super, like, nice to these women. I'd also say, don't get it twisted. These niggas were fucking shining in the music video because they got gold rings, gold watch, two gold chains is nothing. God damn. Shout out to Trinidad James, All Go Everything. Gold hoop earrings. Like, they was really, you watch it, and because of the way that it is filmed, they're not, like, literally glistening.
No, they had on the L.O. Bean cool, what's it called? Sweater?
Oh, yeah, the L.O. Bean cool, you're right. Go. They had a lot of jewelry on that, and all the cost of gold is only going up.
Mm.
So, you know, they really stunting in this music video, but it's not so heavily, you know, hits on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then one thing that they do, one of the smoothest things on the chorus, like, you know, let it snow, let it snow. And then he goes, the outside is cold. Come just on, the Drake. Way that he slides in there, he does a super falsetto thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just like amazing moment, and it's super smooth. Even though it's a very high falsetto, different. And, you know, talking about, come on. Brian McKnight comes on talking about, come over here and help me trim the tree. I want to wrap you up, baby. Then you'll see you're the only present I need. It's a lot of game in here.
Bring that back.
It's a lot of game in here, and y'all not listening.
Nobody,
and
nobody's listening. We're losing recipes.
We really are. Yeah. And there is another part talking about, well, outside is cold, was the chorus. Outside is cold, but the fire is burning. So let it snow. Translation, what's going on there don't matter because we're in this together.
Mm. Mm, that's the Black King right there.
Another level of game that y'all not listening and not able to follow because you don't listen to the classics. I've talked to many people about this. I've said the same joke a ton of different times. If I go to the club, my main goal when I was going to the club, I want to dance with women.
Mm-hmm. You get into it.
If you play shoot 'em up, stab 'em up music, that is not the environment where these women are going to want to dance with me.
No, shake that ass.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to shoot this club up. And that's the reason why these parties end so goddamn
why
early.
I love that. Is that an ad lib on a song? Fuck the club. Yeah, up. Yeah, yeah, I love that. Up. That's my favorite one.
But guess what? Were you dancing with anyone when they were singing fuck the club up? Exactly. That's the problem. Trying to find somebody out here. I'm trying not to be able to relate to what did the lonely do at
looking
Christmas.
Looking for the freaks, but not the 40-year-olds necessarily.
I'm still looking for the freaks on a daily basis. Okay. But yeah, you not listen to the classics. And that's why we're all stranded out here looking at each other, looking dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Another point right at the end, he lets him know again, I don't care what the weather is about the weather, baby. All I know is I want you here with me. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
They was just cutting up on this one.
Ahead of their time.
That's what I gotta say, you know. And I mean, it's a great song, one of the greatest ever. To me, this is probably, at least for this year, this is my favorite Christmas song. I don't know. I love a bunch of them, but this one's up there. Mm-hmm. I've been playing this on repeat every day. I was singing it at work. My homie Mark is probably 50-something, chimed in when I started singing, and he started singing the other lyrics, too. I said, this is...
Was he singing the white version, or was he singing the black version?
Mark is black.
Okay.
He was singing this one.
Okay.
They're connecting the generations, all right? Okay? I'm locked in at work with Mark now. All right. You got anything else to say about Let It Snow?
I do not.
Super sexy. This is a Christmas song. I ain't never heard no sexy Christmas song before. All right. Let's talk about your last song.
We got This Christmas, the Chris Brown version from the, what is the movie? No, why am I blanking on the name of the movie?
This Christmas.
It's called, I'm tripping.
You're tripping.
I'm tripping for real. Yeah. That, I don't know. That came out in 2005, right?
Seven.
Okay, 2007. Chris Brown, height of his career. Yeah, I ain't fucking with him right now. But back then, okay. He was the moment. Okay. He was an icon, a legend, okay?
Listen.
All his songs didn't sound the same.
I wrote now this specifically for Chris Brown.
What'd you write?
Let me see if I can find it. Why? Because I know you would enjoy this. This is pre-scandal Chris Brown.
Bring him back.
This is teenage heartthrob Chris Brown.
This is kiss, kiss Chris Brown.
This is movie star Chris Brown, pre-Piru, if you will.
Why? I forget he was in a gang.
Because it makes no sense. Because he's 30-something years old and been popping since he was 15. Why is he initiating into... He's also from Virginia. Why is he initiating into California-based gangs?
Because he's a cornball.
Because he's a cornball.
Isn't he also really good at basketball?
Yeah, he's really good. He's actually,
really good. Yeah.
I saw him play probably some all-star, some like celebrity games. Yeah. While whatever. And he used to play, he's a kid and stuff. But he looks really good out there.
Like he could have been in the NBA that good? Or
I don't think he was that good. Okay. 2 Chainz is closer than that. 2 Chainz really? Played like D1 basketball.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Did J. Cole play D1 basketball?
J. Cole, I think he might have. He's pretty good. I mean, he was in that Africa League for a while, or International League for like a couple games.
Oh. Wait, he was in African League or just international?
Some international. They were playing in Africa. Oh, I think they were African teams, though. This was like a couple years ago.
J. Cole's not African.
No, he's not.
You know he's biracial, right?
Yes.
He put that white mama in the closet.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
One picture in 12 years? You don't claim your mother?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's part of the image.
Mm. Yeah, talk about wanting to be this. J. Cole got my nerves.
Yeah. Okay.
Gigs.
But yeah, this Christmas... Chris Brown was on another level of fame here, and I always wonder what his career would have looked like had he not gotten into that conflict and with Rihanna. And that's not even what it is, because he's still repeatedly,
yes, he's fucking crazy,
gotten to mess. Yes,
like these people, Carisha didn't put a restraining order on him for no reason. He's kind of nutty.
A lot of women have put
restraining. Did he not try to beat up Frank Ocean and Frank Ocean whooped his ass?
It's very funny, yes.
Like, shout out to Frank Ocean.
Songs about it, too.
Shout out to Frank Ocean for beating the nigga's ass.
He's like, that, what'd he say? That was, why is his mug all bloody? That was a 2-on-1.
OMG.
Yeah, it's very funny to me that he was beefing with Frank Ocean for whatever reason. Like, I don't even understand it.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And a sad part of it is, right? Again, we're talking about who Chris Brown was and what he could have been. He's still a very major. I mean, yeah. One of the largest R&B artists right now. That's more so, I think. Is Chris Brown very talented? Yes.
Yes.
But I also think that has something to do with R&B is not in a great space in terms of male singers.
Yes. Because he's just not as big as him.
I don't enjoy Brent Faiyaz.
I don't like Brent Faiyaz personally. But lots of people love Brent Faiyaz. Do you think that Brent Faiyaz is bigger than Chris Brown?
No. No, nobody thinks that Brent Faiyaz is bigger than Chris Brown.
Is he close?
No. Also, Chris Brown has been around since 15. True. He's now like 36.
Yeah. So he's more cemented into the culture.
It's like 20 years, gee.
No, yeah, that is a long time. I don't think, no, I can't see anybody personally who's going to touch him. Because he took the kind of throne from Usher, right? Give or take? Something like that.
He came right after Usher's Confessions. Usher's Confessions is the largest R&B male R&B album since that point in time. I have a whole podcast episode on it. We're not going to go into it, but that's a gigantic album. And it makes no sense.
Mm.
Okay. But Chris Brown, again, it sucks that we're even having to talk about this portion of him because, again, if he had not gotten into that, we would have been able to focus on just the accolades and things that he's done. But that's always a glaring portion here because he was in lots of movies. He was in, what was that dance? Was that why not Step Up?
Stomp the Yard.
He was in Stomp the Yard. Then he was in like Takers. Yeah, I know that was kind of a joke. That then he was in Takers. He was in This Christmas. He was doing
well.
Like he was gonna be something massive. If that stuff had not happened, he might have actually been more so in that conversation of Usher versus Chris Brown.
Wait, so now question in referencing him transitioning into movies. Mm-hmm. Is there prominent singers into movies? Because like rappers into movies, yeah. Rappers into actors, yeah. Mm-hmm. But singers into actors?
That was kind of a conversation I had on that episode.
Uh-huh.
I should have researched it more because I'm sure there are. Uh-huh. But I think there's something special about
a rapper into rappers actor.
Switching over.
Yeah.
I think they're able to I remember somebody wrote something basically saying that they switch over so much because they already, at least classic rappers, mm-hmm. had to play so much of a character in the booth to be entertaining that it translates a lot better into their acting skills.
Interesting. You know who's, real quick, caveat, who's really good at metaphors? Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like, as to where they could be a transition to a rapper? Mm-hmm. A therapist. A therapist would really throw a crazy metaphor out there and just, like, really run with it for the whole session. They could be a rapper.
Oh, I think it can work. I think it's just the act of making that. Now, I mean, now you got to make all your words rhyme.
Well, yeah, true. That's hard.
That's the hard part. But, again, there are two skills, like, because there's making words rhyme. There's also keeping a theme at the same time and being able to intertwine that.
That shit is hard.
That's difficult.
That is, rapping is hard.
Rapping is
Shout
hard.
Shout out to the rappers.
Yeah. But, yeah, okay. Chris Brown, again, let's talk about This Christmas. It's also another one of those songs. Like, okay, Donny Hathaway is the original writer of This Christmas.
Yeah, of course.
But I didn't even understand that for a long time and kind of didn't believe it because it seemed like one of those songs, because it's just been around.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh, this is like a cover of something else. But he is the original writer. But in my mind, that is one of those songs where it's like, this just been here forever since Jesus was around.
Yeah, literally.
So, yeah. But yeah, this one has a little bit more bounce than his. Mm-hmm. It's different. And it's based on this movie and stuff.
Shout out to the movie.
I also enjoy that every Christmas song emphasizes that this is a special Christmas. Mm. Every year,
yes,
Christmas is
this
special.
One.
And, you know, because the line is literally of, you know, this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. And it's like, I like the idea of every Christmas is special because you're still alive and breathing. Mm. And so this one is very special. Now, is that something that they were actually going for? Probably not. But that's how I just took it, as like literally every single Christmas song is like, no, this Christmas is the best one that's ever going to be. And that's because you're here to witness it.
Yeah. Let the congregation hear you, Troy.
But yeah, man. I don't know. Plus, some more game. This is what, honestly, really and truthfully, y'all want to hear me. Y'all never really see me in the real world interact with people that I'm romantically interested in. And that's for good reason. You don't need to see all that. But another game. If you guys really just wanted to impress someone, just look at old R&B songs and take lyrics from it. Change them up a little bit and you'll be fine. He says,
don't let it rhyme though.
He says, presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. And like, people would really enjoy being told something like that. Anybody would.
Indeed.
These are the two things that matter to me most. Cheer and you. But yeah, beautiful song. This is also a song that people like continuously revisit. I mean, just like Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, there's a certain segment of the population that's like, we got to play Chris Brown's This Christmas. And that's very hard to do, to have a Christmas song was like, this one we have to play every year. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever I talk about Christmas music, eventually someone's going to bring up, oh, This Christmas by Chris Brown is like my favorite. And I remember when this came out, because he did this and he did Respect.
Oh, right.
By Otis Redding originally. Oh. Aretha Franklin took it and it just blew up much larger.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Otis.
Hold on. No, he did, not Respect. He did Try a Little Tenderness.
Yes, yes. That's by Otis.
And
yes.
I remember being like, when I was a kid, I was probably hating. Because
he said she was hating.
Probably. I don't know. Because I was like, I don't think he has the gruffness that he needs.
I agree. I saw a clip of that, him singing that, and I was like, something is not, you said not gruff. I was like, it's not gritty. It's not soulful enough.
Yeah.
It's not deep enough.
His voice,
I don't know,
is just not.
It's too young. He's too prepubescent. Yeah,
at the time. Yes. For sure. And even now, his voice is not the type of voice that could handle that song and give it justice.
No, you're right.
Otis does. Or at least that's how I understand the song to be.
Yes.
And so because of that, I'm like, you need to come hard. You need to smoke a couple cigarettes.
Yes,
like
definitely.
A lot of them.
Cigarettes and coffee.
Cigarettes
he sang
and
that.
Coffee.
Yeah.
2 a.m.
2 a.m. with his boo. Yeah.
You know, and that's why you can't sing that song.
Right.
And you're a great singer. That's just not the song for
He's smoking other things besides cigarettes. Not weed either.
He's doing
something.
Something.
How are you doing the backflips at the concerts?
At 36?
Yeah. He got the booger sugar.
I think there's some, enhancements going on. That only come from a certain level of energy.
Yeah. Like for a short period of time. It's like a burst.
Maybe crackhead energy.
I don't know.
But point is, this is a great song. And I think it's very difficult, especially in the year 2007, to put out a Christmas song that people are like, this is a classic now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's, we're in 2023. We're almost 20 years out. Mm. We are what, 16?
16.
We're 15 years out. This is a classic song at this point. Mm-hmm. 15 years later, I'm sure people will definitely still be playing it in the year 2027. Mm-hmm. It's got a grasp on a certain hole. And that's very hard to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's very hard to put out a Christmas song and be like, this is the one. Mm-hmm. Or this is going to be here for a while. Mm-hmm. I'd be amazed if somebody was able to do that today.
I don't think they can. Given, like you had mentioned, it's like the age of streaming, just it doesn't work like that. There's no radio. It is what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Only two verses, too. It's a short Christmas song.
Oh.
It's not long.
Okay. You went gold on that? Did I say gold or platinum?
I think it went platinum.
Platinum.
When was this given? I don't know. But it said it went platinum. Because streams and stuff have changed what that really means. Mm. So it's much easier to go platinum now than it was when people had to buy
the CDs.
The CD. You went to the store and you put your tin on it.
Wait, can you buy a single? Or could you have bought a single?
Yeah.
People would buy one CD with one single.
Some people did. It was on.
What was it on? What?
You could buy it at the store. It'd be like this one song. It might have a couple different versions of the song. Like,
oh, okay.
But like not anything that most people really care about.
Wait, so when people were releasing singles before an album came out, mm-hmm. How did they sell it?
They used to, so way, way back in the day, we're talking about records, they literally, the single was just one song on the LP. You might have a B-side on the other side.
Yeah.
But that single of, I don't know, Rick James, Give It To Me, Baby, was mm-hmm. literally just a
the song.
Well, you know what? They would put them on 45s. So 45s are just smaller records, almost the size, a little bit bigger than the size of a CD. Mm-hmm. But that would be a single. Have one song on one side and one song on the other. Mm-hmm. And that was how they were selling singles at the time.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's kind of crazy.
That's just what it was.
Yeah, that's crazy. The more you know. Mm-hmm. I feel so educated.
All right, you got anything else you want to talk about with this Christmas?
Nope, wrap that one up.
All right, we're going to talk about my last song.
Say the best for last.
Best for last. I feel like we needed to end on a high note, man. What You Want for Christmas by the Quad City DJs, 69 Boys and K-Nock. So a lot of you guys won't recognize these artists, and that's fine. Quad City DJs did a song called Get Up and Ride It in the 90s, like Get On and Ride It. It's something about a train. You guys can listen to it in your own time. And
is that
like,
a metaphor?
Probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was Nasty in Florida. Mm-hmm. That made sense for them. Mm-hmm. But we'll listen to that song later, me and you, and we'll enjoy it. Okay, so for you guys, I think I heard this song on the radio when I was much younger, but I didn't know what the actual name of the song was. It took me years to find the song later, and I'm glad that I have it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it's actually on streaming services. A lot of times, songs like this get kind of left off, and they're like you can only find them on YouTube.
Isn't that so sad? It does. When you can't find a fucking song on Spotify, I cannot find. What is his name? George. What is that? It's like, oh,
George Clinton.
George Clinton. What is that song called? I just, the melody I just sang.
That's.
Hey. Yeah.
Dang, that's going to bother me. No, that's going to bother me. George Clinton song. I will find it.
That song is not on Spotify. I
can almost guarantee it is.
No, wait, it's not. I looked it up. What's it called?
It might Knee be by
Deep?
Parliament.
Is it called Knee Deep?
Yeah, I think it's Knee Deep. Yeah, it's by Parliament. That's probably why you didn't find
Wait, no, I can't. I want the George Clinton version, though.
That is.
Wait, I'm
he is part of Parliament. Yeah, he's the leader of Parliament.
I can't find that song on Spotify.
We'll find it after this, because I've listened to it on there all the time.
You have?
Yes.
The version I heard? Yes. I don't know if it was the same version. Then.
We'll find it. We'll talk about that later. Okay.
I digress.
Um, What You Want for Christmas by Quad City DJs is one of the greatest Christmas songs to ever do it. First of all, we're talking about getting crunk before crunk was a term. Crunk came out in the early 2000s, to my knowledge. And so...
Fact check that.
Right. What are we talking about? They start off, they say, we ain't with the bullshit. We starting the song off as soon as it come on. And I love that all you need to do to make a song a Christmas song is put some jingle bells in it somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it. The rest of it is just a regular song.
Right.
I mean, at least the beat. So, and I love when someone calls me a player or they say, hey, player. Love that. I wanted to be a player my whole life when I was a kid.
Playboy.
That's all I wanted to do. So anybody recognizing me as a player, you got me locked in. I listen to what you got to say. Okay. They say, start off ching, 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 ching. Hey, player, what you want to get, huh, for Christmas? Got what you going to get your boy? And that, as soon as he says, hey, player, and that bass knocks in, boom. This we're done. I've started over several times just from that.
Uh-huh.
Hey, player, start it over. Start it over.
Wait, Troy, how do you compare this group to Two Live Crew? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so they're very much the same kind of era. I think Two Live Crew was close to the 80s, maybe. They're still in the 90s. They're still in the 90s. Anyway, point is, same location, because Two Live Crew's from Miami. Mm-hmm. These guys were from Florida. Might have been from Miami, too. I don't know. But that style of Southern hip hop in the 90s is one of my favorites.
Same.
Because it is built off of, we're going to start dancing right now. And it's the type of dance where I'm going to start sweating.
Break it down, bust it down, knees to the ground. Like,
I need to breathe hard.
This dance move don't have no, I'm mimicking something. Where you move your, how, describe it.
I don't, so you would be,
you gotta bend your
squatted.
Knees. Yes.
Knees squatted 90 degrees in opposite directions.
Yes.
And you've got your arms in a T pose.
Yes.
And you are bending just from the elbow.
To the chest.
And one side is, your left arm would be bending to your chest and the other, your right arm would be pointing to one side.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of bend that other arm back. You do that several times. There's no way to explain it.
In a quick succession.
I don't know the name.
Whatever that dance, it's like what you see like a HBCU cheerleader or some shit like that. That's what this music makes.
Drum majors did that move a lot.
Yes. Yes. That's why I think Drumline is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have been in
that. Being a drum major would have been fun. But it's a lot of work. Okay. Yeah. This song is like we dancing right now. And to make it a Christmas song at that, lock in.
Twerking for Jesus. That was on, I think, Bad Girls Club. One of them girls said that. She was like, twerking
for Jesus.
Drop it low for Jesus
is what I know. But that's not Bad Girls Club. That's something else.
Bad girls.
But yeah. So anyway, the whole point is really it's a 12 Days of Christmas song.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call the song 12 Ghetto Days, but if you really want to find it, you have to type in what you want for Christmas. So I also
have like what you like the beat.
It's literally what you want for Christmas.
We
you don't
just
have
say
to do
what
a special.
You.
Mm. You don't have to do a special nothing, but you know that's how I talk. Okay, I love that. So it's basically 12 Days of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
After a certain point. And they talk about all the things they didn't want. And I love some of the things they talk about in here. There's a moment in there, the first verse, where he talks about, he said, I ain't got no chocolate chips to go along with no glass of milk, but I got some chips and dip, baby. Kool-Aid to sip, baby. And I love when people are so charismatic that whatever they say is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they said that, I immediately was like, I need to make some Kool-Aid.
Right.
I haven't made Kool-Aid in years.
Right.
But like when they said that, I was
make
like,
make sure you taste the diabetes in that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. And like, I just love someone who's like, that's very regular stuff, but I felt like I'm bawling when he said, I got some Kool-Aid to sip, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I got some chips to dip, baby. I just think, and it's also another thing about game, you can sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you are confident enough in it, like, listen, I ain't got a lot. But what I do have is some chips from dip and some Kool-Aid to sip.
You seen that Wolf of Wall Street when he had to sell that pen?
Oh, yeah. Sell me
this pen. Sell you that pen. I remember that and I forget.
Yeah. So he says, I'm going to lead the club out of quarter to four. That's 345.
345.
Good God. I've been to the club that late for a long time.
Never had. Shit. I don't think I ever have square.
Yeah. Depending on where you live, like there might not even be clubs open till that late. Typically, clubs will close at 2 or 3.
Boo.
You know, but if it's New Year's,
let me not.
This is Christmas time. So it was New Year's, Christmas time. Mm-hmm. All them rules go out the window. But yeah, so then he says, you know, I'm going to leave the club out of code of the foe, and all I want to see when I hit the dough, these 12 things on my Christmas list, it go a little something like this. I said Christmas list.
Christmas.
But that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I love the 12 things he says. I want 12 disc changers. I don't even know about disc changers because I don't listen to CDs anymore. Don't even know what
that is. Oh.
I used to have a disc changer in my car. I had an Acura TL 2003. That was my first car. I loved it to death. That's why I grew up in that car first. Then my dad gave it to me. It had a 6-disc CD changer. That was super baller type stuff at a point in time.
6-disc CD changer.
Because people used to really listen to CDs.
So like it would just alternate the CDs so you don't have to?
Yes. So you could put six CDs. This does the same thing. You can put 6 CDs in it and it will automatically, you know, siphon through. Those CDs, so you don't have to every time you want to listen to a different CD,
go up and
put it in and out.
Oh, that's kind of tight.
That was true luxury at the time.
Oh,
So 12 disc CD changer is nuts because that's a lot of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
11 Philly blunts, that's cool. 10 karat gold. Again, gold is a big deal. You can't just get real gold mm-hmm. now. That's gonna cost you something.
Get gold plated.
Gold plated is easy.
Yeah,
you want some solid gold. He said 10 Garrett. Oh, he didn't even say what it was, but whatever. 9 Sega tapes. He said 9 video games.
I was about to ask what the fuck Sega that was. Tapes. Sega.
Yeah, a Sega game video system. Game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the system?
Yeah. But if you tape, you know, you have to put in the tape upright. On top. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 9 Sega tapes is nuts. If you wanted 9 video games right now, what's 9 times 6? 54. It would cost you $540
for 9 video games.
For 9 brand new ones, for sure. And really gonna cost you more than that because there's tax. And some of them now are not $60; they are $70.
Hell, well, damn it! I guess you're playing a game for like 4 years, so.
Well, depending on what kind of game it is, you can play forever and ever. But yeah, that's big time. 8 gold teeth. I want a grill so bad when I was
I want a grill right now.
When I was a kid, I wanted a grill so bad. My dad's
smile for me, daddy.
Yeah.
Sing it.
What you looking at?
Let me see your grill.
You want to see my what?
Yeah, your grill. Your grill. Yeah. I don't know the rest.
I told him, rob the jewelry store and tell him, make me a grill. I told somebody the other day, I said, this is a problem. If any woman came up to me talking about smile for me, daddy, right now, I'd give her everything I ever had. But y'all don't know nothing about that because y'all don't listen to the classics.
Right.
Anyway. 7 pairs of jeans. 6 pints of beer. 5 fresh gold chains. Mm-hmm. 5 gold chains right now would probably cost you $5,000.
Really?
Depending
Wait,
on,
really?
If they were solid gold, depending on, you know, size and all that kind of stuff, whatever.
What if you get like one of those really skinny ones?
You get a real skinny one? I don't know. I don't know how much those are costing because gold is super crazy expensive. Like solid gold is very, it just costs so much now because it's a limited resource. It wasn't like this in the 90s.
Damn.
Don't you remember growing up? Maybe you didn't. When I grew up, I saw that commercial all the time that talked about sell your gold for cash.
Yeah.
I saw my price gold going up. I saw that every single commercial break for years on end.
Yeah.
So I knew that shit wasn't no joke. That's why I know price of gold's gone up. And I've looked at gold chains, like real gold ones, before and be like, that's why I ain't got none. I got Damn. Some gold plated.
I remember my cousin, she bought me some, I was like 7. She bought me some diamond earrings for Christmas. Girl, my ears wasn't pierced. I was like, we lost those earrings. Those are real diamonds. They're gone.
Oh my God. That's why you can't give stuff like that to kids.
No, you can't.
You give it, if you give it to them, is your parents got to hold on to it till you like.
And she won't. I got my ears pierced when I was 11.
That's nuts. That's hilarious. Your mama probably got them.
She don't.
She say she don't.
She's oh, let me go over to her closet real quick.
430 smokers. I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you. 3 pack of draws. 2 girlfriends. Let me tell you something.
Stop playing the field. I thought black men don't cheat. What is this?
To have the love of 2 women.
What is this?
I ain't saying I never did that before. But to have the love of 2 women. I mean, unrivaled.
Shut the fuck up.
Unrivaled. We've got to, We got to get back to the classics. I need a family next door. I need a family.
If I was to say that, I'd be in the wrong. They'd be like, oh.
This is for entertainment purposes.
Only.
But two girlfriends is nuts.
Where's my two boyfriends?
You can go out and get some. You was telling me about one. You just didn't want to deal with it.
No, because he was not shit.
Yeah. He didn't say there was going to be quality. But you can go get you some
touché,
right now.
Touche.
Okay. And then ends with a Cadillac to put it all in. Now, the Cadillac as a status symbol is not what it used to be. Mm. That used to be a big deal if you was riding around a Cadillac. And mess around, if I could, when I was a kid, all I wanted was an Escalade.
Wait, I have a question related. What is candy paint? Just candy colored paint?
Yeah, it's like really glossy, sparkly paint.
Oh, come on, Paul Wall. That's why I knew that. Anyway, mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah, but man, if I could be riding around in a Cadillac, boy. And this is a super Southern thing, too. But still.
Love that Southern culture.
I mean, if you was in a Cadillac, like, what are we talking? That used to be the pinnacle. Then it became Benz's.
Bring back the Cadillac, for real. Bring back the Chevys and then Pauls and shit. Bring that back.
They're not as, again, the status symbol has changed. That's really all it is. We've gotten way more into import cars. Mm. So we're way more into, like, yes, people respect Benz's, but rap got so much money, they start being able to buy Ferraris.
Yeah, like foreign
and Lamborghinis.
Shit.
And we're really into it, Italian makes. Bugatti.
Bugatti. Is it a RAF, a car? RAF? RAF? Something like that? I heard in a Flamilli song.
Please don't touch my RAF. I remember RAF was a clothing brand.
Not RAF Simmons. But isn't the, I swear, I don't even, I know the Flamilli song. It's in my head. I just can't, something. He spent, is it Rafe? It's Rafe.
Wraith. It's a Wraith. That's a type of.
Is it R-A-T-H?
No, it's W-R-A-T-H. A-T, Wraith as in a ghost. So like, yeah, that's a type of Rolls Royce.
Oh, thank you, Flamilli.
Yeah, that's a, people used to talk about those a while ago. I didn't remember when Rolls Royce was a big deal, but they look so much like Chrysler 300s.
That's what I'm fucking saying. Like, those are, like, why are they, they're not that cute. They're cute on the inside.
I think they may, well, yeah, so they're like super luxury cars on the inside.
What does Flamilli say something to Wraith while he was handing her coochie? Something like that. Some Emilio Pucci, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, but yeah, that yeah, shout out to the Ray. But yeah, so now we're not as big on the American import thing because we're just aware of other things that are seen as much more viable because they cost more.
And just American cars themselves are just kind of shitty.
And that now they used to be like we used to be really proud of them, but now we don't care about them nearly as much.
Get you a was it a Japanese car? Mm-hmm. Was it Subaru Japanese?
Yes, Subaru. But really, Kia, just get you a Toyota.
Toyota, a Honda. And you'll be fine. Literally my dream car. It's literally a Toyota Camry. That's my dream car.
But yeah, I understand. Because y'all know that I did an episode on my Corolla
not too long ago.
Once it was totaled. I miss him every
rest
day.
In peace.
But yeah, I mean, I only had 170 something thousand. I was planning on getting to 350.
You could have got there.
Because I've done it before. The Acura had 450,000 on it.
Goddamn. God. What happened to the Acura?
We gave it to my stepsister. And then, but my dad was like, you should get rid of this car because it's old. Mm. And so I think they ended up donating it to like science or something. Not to science, but they donated it to somebody.
Dead body to science?
I know. They donated it to somebody and they got like a tax write off type of thing.
That's
know?
What my dad did to my Ford Taurus. Her name was Pearl. Rest in peace. She had pockets in the engine. I was like, how far can this? He said, it can get 5 minutes up the street. Don't go past that because it will die on you.
Oh my God.
And I was like, damn. He said $3,000 to fix that engine. I said, nigga, the car was $1,100.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah. So, you know. But yeah. Second verse. K-Knock. I also want to take a moment to respect the one woman rapper on the song. There's only two.
Shout out to her.
Rappers, period. But to be in the 90s and have a verse like this is great. And there's a lot of female rappers who are taken out of the history of hip hop. Once I saw a documentary on Netflix, it was kind of wild to know how much that we just don't know because somehow they didn't, they just got pushed to the side. Mm. I don't want to say somehow, it was deliberate, but they just got pushed to the side. That's what it is. So shout out to K-Knock. Okay. She starts off, Christmas Day, the burst of Christ, no doubt. That's what it's all about. Lemonhead, stop the beat for a spec. Show some respect. no sound for like half a second. Mm. And then we get right back into the.
She said, we'll stop. Carry on.
Exactly. Santa Claus, what's up with you? Tell K-Nock what you going to do. And she asks for all the things that she wants. And we're just going to jump really straight to her list. And I did some math on this one. Actually, I didn't do math, but I did look up. Let me just say the line. I want $1,200.
Yeah, me too.
All of us can relate strongly to that.
However, come on. What, is that, how much was that stipend we got? The Joe Biden. $1,200.
The STEMI was supposed to be like $1,200, I
want
to
say. The STEMI.
So.
She said, I want a STEMI check.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, this is before the STEMI, way before the STEMI. I'd also like to say that when we talk about inflation is a motherfucker, because I looked up.
Oh, wait.
What is $1,200 in 94 as to now? First off, I also want to say it's genius that instead of, you know, she used her 12 or whatever. She said, I want $1,200. I would have never thought about that. Okay. So $1,200 in 1994 is basically $2,400 right now. That's how crazy inflation is. That it is literally double what it's worth right now.
Damn. So,
yeah. 11 pair of shoes, 10 fingernails. I want my nails done. Mm-hmm. And she did a 10. That's, come on, genius.
Right.
9 pack of weave. Again, we could be talking about tens of thousands of dollars, depending on what kind of weaves that you're getting. If you get Beyonce weaves.
360 lays. I don't know. Shit.
Right. What's now? They say 27 piece?
No, that's like a quick weave, ain't it?
I don't know.
Wait, she need a bust down. She obviously want a bust down.
Point is, well, like this is the black, 90s.
30 inch.
They might not
bust
have been
down.
Doing that like that back then.
Well, okay. They didn't. Well, they had like the updos and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm point sure is. Somebody, Aaliyah damn near had a bust down. Not for real, because it was kind of like bumped at the ends, but she had something. It was good.
She said 8 male strippers. I didn't catch that the first time.
Love that.
She probably said 8 male strippers.
Strippers.
I respect it.
Me too.
I respect it. 7 bus passes. Something about that
a
is
bus
hilarious.
Pass.
Something about that is just hilarious. She's like, you know, I just want to get around.
I mean, no, practical queen.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I respect that.
I respect the, I want 7 bus passes.
Like, yeah.
Just because I'm tired of paying for public transport. I just want to get
around. Yeah, I respect that.
6 diamond rings. Because why not?
Why not?
Why not? But this is the one, this is the
Lip
kicker.
Lip-lap luxury.
This is the kicker. 5 months free rent.
No, that's the, she should have put that first. She had.
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
I feel like right now, I don't know why. I just feel like if I have 5 months free rent right now, my life would change. And I'm not even doing bad. Like, I'm doing fine. I pay my rent easy. It's no problem. But like, something about 5 months free
five
rent.
5 months?
I just feel like something in my life would change drastically. I don't know what.
No, literally.
I just feel like I'd be in a much better position.
Like, literally.
5 months.
5 months.
Something about that is
you going on vacation?
Revolutionary. Whew. If I had 5 months free rent. I don't, the point is, she said that, and I mean, it means something right now. It meant something then, but it means something for real right
no,
now.
No, literally.
Have 5 months free rent. Y'all don't understand. She don't know what kind of word she was saying in the year 1994.
And it's probably like $335 back then.
Her rent was nothing.
Like.
But right now. Matter of fact.
11, 12. Can't find anything less than that.
Yeah. I mean, realistically speaking, if you're talking about a single bedroom, all that kind of stuff.
No roaches.
Yeah. If you want a nice one. Fine. Boy. Okay. We just had to stop on that one because that was, I don't know the word, but revolutionary is what I'm sticking on right now for the 5 months free rent.
She was preaching.
4 bangles.
Love that.
Gold bangles, which I would like some as well.
Same.
Tried to get some when I was in Hawaii. They have these very, they have these custom ones. They don't call them bangles, but they have these very beautiful, intricately designed and carved gold bangles there. Ooh. That is done in the Hawaiian style. You can't get them nowhere else. But I couldn't get them when I was there because all the places were closed. Obnoxious.
Literally.
Anyway. 3 pocketbooks. Shout out.
In a wallet, yeah.
Also, people don't say pocketbooks no more.
No.
It's an old term.
My grandma said that.
My mom used to say pocketbook.
That's a wallet, not a purse. pocketbook is like, why?
So I was, when I always used it interchangeably, I just thought pocketbook was a purse.
Maybe it is. I don't know if it's a wallet or
like,
a purse.
Like grandma pocketbook, I'm going to grab a purse.
A pocketbook. Why is that? Why is it called a pocketbook?
Probably, you're probably right. Like the actual pocketbook is probably.
Oh, like a, something you, yeah.
Probably the one with the cars and little cash.
Because I guess there's like a coin purse. I don't know if that's like.
It's different though, still.
I don't know.
But it's fine. Two earrings.
Well, duh.
Because I got two ears.
Duh, yeah.
Cool. But my the last one is a man with a lot of money.
No, yeah.
Because I don't want to spend my own money. And I got to respect that. I got to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gift that keeps on giving. Also, is why it's important.
Original City Girl.
The City Girls are from Florida.
Oh, yeah. They're her sons.
Yeah. A lot of people don't see the connections between like.
They're from Miami.
City Girls, Trina.
315.
Kia's from Philly. But a lot of that Florida energy that a lot of these new women rappers are exhibiting, I mean, it stems from. I mean, you used to say Trina, but K-Knock is who we need to be talking to.
Mm.
However, all women have always wanted a man with a lot of money. I don't think that's not. But she said it on wax. Which is why it's important.
Yes.
So, you know, shout out. All right. And that's that song. It's iconic. It's Get Ready on the Dance Floor Right Now. Mm-hmm. And it's a Christmas song. I think that's difficult to do. I never heard Crunk on Christmas before.
Me neither.
But you know, that's it. That's my last song. I hope y'all listen to that. You got any final thoughts?
I don't think so.
Well, all right. If you made it this far, you the real MVP.
Shout out.
And shout out to you for hanging with me and Brielle for a Troy Track Select Christmas. Beautiful time. I hope you guys get to enjoy this episode. Anyway, glad that you stayed along for the ride, and I guess I'll see you next time. Peace.